Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. And today I am joined by all the guys. I am joined by Senior Pastor of Christ Fellowship, Bruce Miller, Senior Associate Pastor, Jaime Gonzalez, and Anna Christian Fellowship's Pastor, Mark Wyatt. And we are in the midst of 21 days of prayer, and we are specifically praying for the Holy Spirit's power. And today we talk about the Holy Spirit and how He empowers us to talk about Jesus. This is something a lot of us are uncomfortable with, but I hope you will get some encouragement from our conversation today. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are here with the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. And today, all the seats are full around the table.
Yay. Everybody's here.
Everybody's here. Jaime's back, and Mark and Bruce are here. And guys, we are in the middle, really almost the middle of 21 days. So every year, or at least for the fast, this is the fifth year, right, Bruce?
That's right.
Christ Fellowship has participated in and encouraged people to pray and fast for 21 days at the start of the year. And we've been doing that. We've been meeting for prayer here at Christ Fellowship at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. if you would ever like to come and join us at the building. And we've had some nights of worship on Sunday night. And I know Anna is doing some focus on prayer as well, right, Mark?
That's correct. In fact, we have gotten a team of people together and wrote a 21 days devotional. We want to pray a foundation for the church to last a century, and that's a spiritual thing. So we've got a little devotional for folks, and it's been really helpful, and it's been a great time.
Yeah. So we want to encourage people alone and with others to pray. So, yeah. Mark, you're praying for the foundation of the Anna Church.
Right. And how we're doing that, inwardly, we pray. The first week, we prayed for the inward foundation of our own lives, that God would have His kingdom inside of us, because it's going to start there. And then the second week, we're praying for unity, because that's what Jesus prayed in John 17. We're to pray for the church and to be unified to do something greater than ourselves. And bring life to our community, bring life to individuals, His redemption. And then in the last week, we're praying for our outreach to the world.
That's great. Those are good prayers. Excellent prayers. And what about us here at Christ Fellowship, Bruce, and in Spanish as well? What's our focus?
We're praying to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. We really want to know the Holy Spirit, probably remember the Trinity we know the least. And to know His power. We don't always talk so much about power, but the New Testament associates the Holy Spirit with power in several different directions or purposes for His power. And we've seen already the power to know God the first week, and the second week, the power to live a godly life. And now this week, the power to talk about Jesus boldly.
Yeah. So we would encourage you to join along with us. We have a... Anna has a guide. We have a guide here at Christ Fellowship in the Engage God Daily that you can use so that you can join with, you know, your brothers and sisters in praying the same verses all together, which is really cool. There's something, I think, powerful in that. Mm-hmm. And how's it going in Spanish, Jaime? I know you've been out of the country.
Yeah, so. I've been out of the country, but I hear that it's going well and people are engaged, and the worship on Sunday, the service bilingual went well, and the prayer early in the morning at 7 a.m. has been going well, too. So that's exciting. I'm excited that people are engaging, and I don't need to be there.
That's right. That's the sign of a good team, right?
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit's power.
Amen. Yep.
That's right. And what about in English, Bruce? Have you heard any good stories?
Yeah, there's just been some great fellowship among people early in the morning, some open sharing, maybe more open because there's fewer people in the morning. Yeah. Might not be surprising.
7 a.m., yeah.
And so there's the opportunity with, say, 5 to 12, 15 people to share more openly about their lives. And the level of vulnerability has been powerful and surprising. And then a couple on the verge of marriage where the Holy Spirit intervened before that divorce could move forward would be another story of a miracle, I believe, that's happened. And we're seeing God convict people of sin. Interestingly, Sunday, two people came forward in tears confessing their anger and said, when I got angry, I was mean. I said horrible things to my spouse, my children, people I love. So I have three people in the last 10 days at our church who have confessed a level of anger and verbal, well, just saying horrible things, and sobbing, saying, mm-hmm. I feel so guilty, and so to receive the Lord's forgiveness and then to pray for his healing in those personal relationships and marriages and families, yeah. moms and dads and husbands and wives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we want to see. We want people to be free. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that we all pray for at Christ Fellowship year round, is we want people to be free from things that are enslaving them, from sins that are sin habits that are enslaving them, whether that be, you know, bona fide addictions, or just things like, you know, being a rage monster where mm-hmm. you find yourself, you know, flying off the handle, or being a gossip, or being a liar. You know, there are so many ways that we can get trapped in our sin. And the Holy Spirit, one of the reasons that Jesus says that he sent the Holy Spirit is to indwell us and to help us defeat and then heal from those sins. And so, yeah, let's keep praying for that. But that brings us to this week's message, Bruce. And why don't you give us just a quick little summary of what the focus is this week?
Yeah, I know for me personally, most of my Christian life, I have not felt adequate in evangelism. I felt kind of that was a weak area of my Christian life. Much better at studying the Bible and Greek and all that.
Okay, well, first of all, I want you to define evangelism.
Well, when I was younger in my faith, people would tell me I needed to tell people all about the gospel. In those days, there was often little booklets. You would use a pamphlet. One called The Four Spiritual Laws was quite famous among others. And you were to walk people through that and then lead them in a prayer in which they would trust in Christ. And often it was with strangers. You walked up to someone and began talking to them in a mall, or you would knock on doors, literally. That felt so uncomfortable to me. And now I look back, artificial. Mm-hmm. And that was hard for me to make that kind of a step to do. And I think that's probably one of the reasons I felt guilty. But I think now I would have a much broader view that really it's about talking with people about Jesus at a broad level, about all the good things he's done for us and how excited I am about what he's doing at our church, and quite a range of things that brings Christ into the conversation. And then I see that the Holy Spirit moves in people's lives in different ways. It's often not so simple as just a 1, 2, 3, 4 sign the deal. Sometimes evangelism is presented as almost a sales approach, uh-huh. but it's not about selling Jesus. It's about sharing Jesus, whom we're so excited about.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about things naturally that we're passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to anybody and find out what's going on in their life. And then, you know, if they've seen a good movie lately, they'll bubble over talking about that. Or maybe they've gotten into a new hobby and they're like, oh my gosh, I've started working out and this is my fitness plan, and you know, and then on and on and on and on, and so it's true that we want to share things that we're excited about and passionate about, and especially if it's something that we think will help other people.
Over the holidays, we went to a barbecue restaurant on I-45 that a truck driver recommended to us, and they had the most amazing pork chops. And I'm telling everybody about the pork chops at Woody
Smokehouse in Fairview.
Oh my!
Fairfield.
This is a Centerville.
Centerville.
This truck driver said, "We said, what's the best barbecue in I-45?" He said, "Exit 164." Okay, so we did it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Also, bacon wrapped quail.
Ooh, fancy. Yeah, I think that just goes without saying that we will talk about things. So we should, you know, hopefully because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and he is working in our lives, we want to share with that with others, because we know that they will benefit not just from a tasty pork chop, but they will benefit mm-hmm. from, you know, the same kind of healing and hope that we have as believers. But why is it hard? What prevents us? What kind of obstacles do we have to overcome, Jaime?
Well, I think we're afraid to speak to we don't have enough Bible knowledge. So if I'm trying to tell somebody about Jesus, but what if they ask me something that I don't know the answer to, you know? And so we're afraid because we lack knowledge of the Bible. And then I think we're also afraid because of that lack of relationship. And so how can I go up to someone cold turkey and tell them about Jesus? I think those are two of the most common reasons why we're afraid to tell others about Jesus.
Yeah. What about you, Mark? And do you think of any other obstacles that you've encountered or heard people talk about?
All right. I think One, you want to avoid, you feel hypocritical because they're not perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know enough, or I don't want to be fake to somebody. And then sometimes we're just afraid this person's going to just be rejecting of us because of that.
Yeah.
And some of those things we need to get over with. But I think there's a more natural way, because I understand what Bruce was talking about, because I was in Campus Crusade and we shared the four spiritual laws. But there's a lot of good that came out of that. But at times it could get mechanical, and you need to do that in a way that it's you, that you can communicate and talk about Jesus to somebody else in a way that's real to you. And I think everybody can do that.
Yeah. And it can be in the context of your relationships.
Right.
Right. We're not talking about asking people to go up and, you know, knock on doors or.
Although I used to love to do that. You know, here
did you really? Bruce,
and I did that for many, many years in different parts of my life. And I remember for one season, we would go to Deep Ellum. This was in 1994, 95. We would go to Deep Ellum every Friday from 9 p.m. to midnight and just walk the streets and have. Strike up conversations with anybody willing to talk. And some of them were drunk and some of them were not.
I was going
to
say, how sober were they?
Yeah. Did they remember your conversation?
There was a little bit of everything. But I will say this, though. The one that I spoke to the most was a bouncer at a nightclub. Mm-hmm. Because every Friday we were there, so he saw us regularly. And he would invite us to come inside the nightclub to take a bathroom break. Or he knew that we were walking the streets. Or offer us something to drink. And usually it wasn't water that he offered. But eventually, we started having a relationship with him and telling him about Jesus. And Valentine, that was his name, Valentine came to trust in Christ. And we plugged him into church. But it was after, we did that for an entire year.
Yeah.
Every Friday. So.
Yeah. And you don't know where you are in the person's journey and how the Holy Spirit is moving in them. Because not only is the Holy Spirit working in us, but he's working in those who he wants to draw closer to God. And so, you know, you might drop a little, I mean, and this is an overused analogy, I think, but I think it works. You know, you might drop a seed and then someone else comes along and waters it and someone
That's
else,
right.
you know,
That's right.
comes
it's
along.
It's an old analogy, but it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Lisa, I also read an article years ago about that connecting it with evangelism, that people in general do not like to give bad news to other people. And so there is a component of the gospel where sometimes you have to come to the point where you tell them their need for Jesus and repentance and in the context of a relationship and so forth. But we humans do not like to be the bearers of bad news in general. Mm-hmm. And that at times is an obstacle because, well, I tell someone that they need Jesus.
And they're like, no, I don't.
Yeah. Most of us don't want to talk about hell. There's a handful of people who are just fine with that. But most of us, when I was thinking about what you said, I think that's really true about bad news. I don't want to give somebody bad news.
Yeah.
But I think probably the easiest type of evangelism is with people that already know they're in a mess.
That's right.
You know, most people don't wake up and all of a sudden, I mean, I'm sure it happens, but feel their need for God. Yeah. I mean, frequently it's someone who is already going, my life is not working. What I'm doing right now is not working and I'm miserable and I've hurt people and I don't know how to get out of this. And those are the people who I think the Holy Spirit can really, their heart is soft enough that the Holy Spirit can really move. And then we might just be the person that walks in at the right time and has the right conversation. But we have to be good listeners. I think part of one of the obstacles is we feel like we have to do all the talking, like we're the expert. And that honestly is probably the worst thing because I've been there. I've done the, I'm going to just talk you into the kingdom of heaven. And let me tell you how many people came to Christ with that approach. Yeah. Zero. So, you know, most of the time it's like, you need to listen and then you listen for where their need is. And then if you are someone who they find trustworthy, then I think they will receive that. And maybe they don't accept Christ right away, or maybe they go, oh, yeah, that might work for you, but it's not going to work for me. But it's going to be something that at least they ponder.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's true. I've had different instances where people wanted to ask questions, religious questions, but they didn't feel like it was safe enough to do that. And when I assured them, hey, I'm not here to convince you or twist your arm, but we can walk through these questions. I'm just tell you what I think about that. Tell me why you're thinking that. Mm-hmm. I've found that that is really effective, not to push that person over. And, you know, it's not a sales pitch.
Right.
I'm really interested in your well-being.
Right.
And there's no compulsion here.
Right. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't compel. So why should we?
that's God's work in a person's life. Mm-hmm. And it was probably a couple of months ago, and I just went out to have coffee with a gentleman, and he just had to ask some questions that he didn't feel safe in church to ask. Mm-hmm. And, man, it was just fantastic conversation about that. And I said, you know what? Questions are fine. And I think that's a great thing for you to ask. And we just had an open conversation about that. And it really, really went a long way.
Yeah, that's great. And I think people, I'm falling on all over the cliches, but, you know, people don't know what you, care what you know if they don't know you care. And so, but I think, but it's not like we're trying to be manipulative. It's not like we're saying, I'm going to pretend to care about you so that then.
So I can get my star.
I can get my star in heaven. It's like, yeah. No, you have to genuinely care
right.
about the person.
Yeah, nobody wants to feel like a salesman when we're talking about things that are matters of the heart.
Right.
And matters about eternity.
Yeah, because it is a sensitive subject. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's also be understanding in the fact that, you know, it's not like you want to open every conversation with, well, let me tell you what's going on in my spiritual life. You know, I mean, sometimes you have to get to that point right. with somebody where you're comfortable sharing mm-hmm. that sort of level of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily going to be with someone. Although sometimes it happens more quickly than you think. Sometimes right. on an airplane. Mm-hmm. Things, those conversations can get there fast, mm-hmm. But you have to let it flow naturally. And I think that's what we're talking about here, right, Bruce?
And in a conversation with someone on the other side that you know well, like a family member that you're going to see many, many times over many years, you don't want every single conversation to be filled with spiritual topics. You've been to wear somebody out. And mm-hmm. you know, maybe you've experienced that. And often younger Christians, if you're a newer Christian, many of us as young Christians, just in our enthusiasm, wore people out. Mm-hmm. And we were just a little too exuberant. It's like the boyfriend who overwhelms his girlfriend with too many roses. And a few are great, but starts to be overwhelming, well, suffocating.
Like a stalker.
Yeah. And so you want someone to know that you love them, which includes being interested in what they're interested in and letting their topic set the conversation.
Yeah, that's a really good
Bruce, news. So many memories came to my mind when you say that. My mom was the first to come to Christ, and she just overwhelmed us with Christianity at the beginning, and it was hard for yeah. those of us who were not yet there ready.
Yeah, my dad was the same way when he came to faith, rather dramatically, and just every family member got sat down with a Bible in front of them, and not just once, but like every get together, it became a little too much. But his heart was so in the right place.
Yes, yes.
He right. just wanted people to know Jesus.
That was my mama's heart too.
He had found freedom, and so he mm-hmm. wanted them to feel the same way. Luke 24:49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 4:33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. So, Bruce, why don't you just give us a little rundown on what it was like for the early church? I mean, Jesus is resurrected and is going to leave them.
That's right, because sometimes we go into the latter part of Acts or perhaps chapter 2 and forget what happened those weeks before that. Jesus died, and they were crushed. They were despondent. It was all over. They were scared. They were running. They were in hiding. No one thought Jesus would rise from the dead. Then when he did, they were shocked, and he appeared, and they were just couldn't believe their eyes, and then to touch him and to hear his voice, and for Thomas to touch his hands and feet in his doubt. And then after he appeared enough times, they're like, okay, I think he really rose from the dead. This is what's going to happen now. This is unbelievable. And he said, I want you to wait in this city until you're clothed with power from on high. What in the world? And then one of the last things he said is, they ask him, well, when are you going to set up your kingdom? Like, you've risen from the dead, so let's get this thing going, you know? And he said, you will receive power. They said, when are you going to set your kingdom up? And he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And I don't think they still knew what the world's going on, but they understood the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're going to be witnesses. And then just not longer, they got in the upper room, they began praying constantly. And then within a matter really of probably a few days or a few weeks, then the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And just the scripture calls it like a wind and fire. It was this huge moment. And the Holy Spirit came in and dwelt them, and they began, poor Timmy, the little Peter, who had denied Jesus three times, now he stands up before thousands of people from all over the world and preaches the gospel in the Spirit's power. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. And following that, ordinary people, uneducated, not necessarily sophisticated, these fishermen began bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the Mediterranean world, all over the Roman world, against huge opposition, even being thrown in jail, thrown in prison. And in the power of the Spirit, they simply told the story of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were very ordinary people.
Romans 15, 18 through 19. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 5. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And I think Paul mentions that in that, you know, he didn't come with like wise words and persuasive language. And look, he's not saying you should check your brain at the door. That's not his point. In the Roman world, there were professional orators, and they were trained in the art of rhetoric.
They were the influencers of that day.
That's right. They were the influencers, and they could get hired on to go to parties. I mean, there wasn't, you know, Netflix back then, so people would have orators come to their parties and talk. And so, but he's like, that wasn't me. I didn't come in sort of an artificial way. I didn't come in, in sort of this very packaged professional way. I came me and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you witnessed the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what convinced you that my message was true, mm-hmm. that
right.
the gospel is true.
And I think, you know, you just look at Acts as unpacks is that, hey, people looked at these people as uneducated guys, right?
And girls.
And girls. And all they, but God hugely changed the world in Acts. The church was started.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important to also that they didn't just come with a message. They came with action, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we know from studies of, you know, if you study the early church in the, the early centuries, you know that the Christians were the ones, when plagues would sweep through cities, it would be the Christians who would hang around and care for the sick. Mm-hmm. When families would put out their little girls to die, their infant babies to die by exposure, which was their form of abortion, the Christians would rescue those infants and care for them. You know, Paul himself was leading a huge charge to bless the church in Jerusalem that was in the midst of a famine. And so several times in his letters, he speaks about a collection that he is gathering from all the churches, you know, that were very far away and far removed from Jerusalem, and said, hey, you guys need to contribute. You need to help your brothers and sisters. And all that spoke of the message being real.
I like to say that the Holy Spirit has empowered us to have the two wings of the of evangelism, where you have on one wing, if you take an aircraft, you have one wing, which is actions, what we do, empowered to love those that are unlovable, or to serve, walk the extra mile, put the other cheek when someone offends us. So you have action. And then on the other wing, you have our words. We tell people about Jesus, and our words are empowered. And that's the beauty that, Mark, you were saying, these people are uneducated, simple fishermen. Well, they were empowered.
Yeah.
They had power. They had dunamis, the Greek word thereof. They had the Spirit indwelling them, kind of like, you know, if I have a stomach ache, I can drink water, but I can also get some, you guys remember Alka-Seltzer?
Yes. Yeah. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
There you go. You put some Alka-Seltzer tablets in the water and that'll help you out. You've just empowered the water to bring relief to your stomach ache or your headache. And so the Holy Spirit has empowers us as believers to be able to have an impact both in action and in our words, deeds and words.
Yeah, and I think that has to go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because if you ask people on the outside, you know, people who are not believers, if you ask them, what do you think of Christians? The number one thing they will say is they're a bunch of hypocrites. Mm-hmm. And so now look, part of that is all of us as Christians should be willing and ready to go, yep, I mess up and I repent. It's not enough to just admit we mess up. We have to go, I also am trying to do better. Mm-hmm. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to not be a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think we probably have earned some of that. Mm-hmm. Because the church at large, not necessarily individuals in this room or even individuals listening to this podcast, but the church at large has not been kind to those in the margins. We have not been kind to gay people. We have not been kind to, we've gotten ourselves embroiled in political scandals and partisan politics to the extent that we've cared more about power than we have about people. You know, our legacy is not great when it comes to race, mm-hmm. to be frank. And so I think part of being a Christian is owning some of that and just saying, yeah, you know, we serve a great God, but we as the church have not always lived up to the standard that Jesus has set before us. But that's why we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly, why we trust that kind in the redemption.
That kind of repentance is a form of witnessing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a way of witnessing to the reality and power of Jesus that can be more powerful than some big philosophical argument you're going to make.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A simple, I'm sorry. I can't tell you the number of times that has softened people. Mm-hmm. When I know I've done wrong and I've gone to them and said, I have really messed up and mm-hmm. I am sorry.
Because that's very uncommon.
Yeah.
And it shows, I think, fundamental that you are not just self-interested. You are actually, when you say you're sorry, you are interested in that person's well-being and you're recognizing that. And I think that's why the world sometimes looks at us. We're human, right?
Sure.
And everybody screws up. But at the same time, the church has appeared that we're just self-interested. Mm. And what we need to show people, and this goes a million miles, is that we really are interested in their well-being.
Yeah.
And fundamental, that's fundamental to what everything that we believe.
Yeah. Well, and look, we need to be sure that no one mistakes our interest in power, right? We don't want the power that the world seeks after.
It's
we want
different.
The power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the power of the Holy Spirit is other-focused, it's love-focused, mm-hmm. it's redemption-focused. It's not about amassing political capital or money or status or wealth for ourselves. And so, you know, we have to be conscious of how we live. And that shouldn't prevent us, though, from also sharing the gospel.
And like Jaime talked about, man, the power to turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
The power to forgive, the power to have the humility to apologize. It takes incredible spiritual powers. You said, Mark, it's uncommon. Mm-hmm. And I think it's supernatural many times to be able to forgive what feels unforgivable, to apologize for what makes you feel humiliated, and you don't want to own that.
You mean I can't go off on Facebook rants every time I disagree with somebody?
Lisa, that's when you're going to take that outside, a separate conversation, your rants.
I actually don't. I never say anything because I don't want to get embroiled in some kind of, you know, argument on social media. But, you know, we do have to be aware of the witness that we're putting out there. And, you know, are we making Jesus look good? You know, it's simple as that.
And to realize that you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You have the power of the Holy Spirit to really grab a hold of that truth, and that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. So he can help you overcome your fear and give you confidence, because you're not relying on how smart you are, although it's good to be educated and learn, but you're praying, Holy Spirit, would you give me the words to say in this moment for what this person needs in this conversation? And he will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really the heart of it, the heart of having meaningful conversations where people experience Christ through us.
That's right. That's the heart of our vision.
That we want, and the Holy Spirit is integral to that. It's impossible to do without him. Mm-hmm. So, well, yeah, this was a good conversation, guys. I hope we encouraged people to keep on praying. I mean, you can't do any of this without prayer, as we keep saying. And as tying the messages together to think about how the Holy Spirit empowers our life, I like Jaime's illustration of the plane. Empowers us to live godly lives and now to speak the message of Jesus in our everyday lives.
So I'd encourage people in the time that remains in the 21 days, finish it out strong. If you haven't even started yet, jump in and use it as an impetus for you to prayer and to experience and learn about the Holy Spirit's power.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. Well, Jaime, would you pray for us?
Yes, glad to. Father, we're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for sending us the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for the empowerment. Thank you that our lives are not the same because we have been empowered by your Spirit. And we do pray, Father, that we can appropriate and give more of ourselves to the Spirit so that the Spirit can grow in us and have a greater impact for your kingdom, Lord. That we may have a greater capacity of the Spirit in our lives for your honor and for your glory, Lord. We thank you for each one of our listeners. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless them and that they may grow in the greater capacity of your Spirit so that they can have a greater impact for you, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.
That's a wrap.